We are continuing a series on Unity's basic teachings that we started last Sunday. And when I came up for the title for this second lesson and gave it to our church secretary, Sarah, so she could include it in the Sunday bulletin today, she looked at it for a long time, and she asked me a question you may be asking. She asked, does that say God is now here or God is nowhere? And I'll give you the same answer I gave Sarah. It all depends on how you read it. And by it all, I mean whether we realize it in our life, everything that we experience in this world is dependent on how we answer that question, on how we read what's before us. Which, just as an aside, I might point out, is exactly how the New Testament Greek was written in all of the documents they used to create our New Testament in the Bible. All caps, no punctuation, no space between words. So you might say I'm going back to first century Christianity with our title. Now, in truth, there really is only one correct answer, only one correct way to read the title. Since, as Paul told the Athenians, God is not far off from any one of us, but in God we live, move, and have our being, the answer is clearly, God is now here. That's the answer from the Gospel, the answer from the New Testament. God is now here will always be the answer. It may not look like it, but in the midst of whatever we face, God is there, just waiting to be discovered and brought into expression. That is always the case. However, while that may be so in truth, in practice, it is only true for us to the degree that we know and understand it. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall set you free, but only if you know it. Only if you know it, and to the degree that you know it. In God's truth, we're free already. Why aren't we expressing that Christ in us, our hope of glory? Because we don't know it. We don't know who we really are. We don't know what God really is. And while knowing the truth makes us free, it is our ignorance of truth that binds us, that holds us back, that causes us to stumble in this life. Our minds, our souls, our consciousness is the connecting link between our God and our world. Our minds are the cord that hooks the power of God to our manifest life. And like a cord, an extension cord, our minds don't have any real power of their own. A lot of people who think they know what Unity teaches really don't, because so many people think we teach the power of mind, the power of thoughts. If you think right, it'll change the world. No, your thoughts have no such power. Your thoughts have no such power. God is the only power. What your thoughts can do, though, is either connect or disconnect whatever you're facing in life to the one power, to the power of God. Either plug us into it or unplug us from it. Either be open channels through which the power and the goodness of God can flow in abundance, or be so restricted in our thinking that it can barely trickle out, if at all. what we see in our life is the result of the mental connection we make between God and our world. And while our minds don't have any power, they do have something. You know what our minds have? Choice. That's the one thing our minds have. The ability to choose what thoughts will occupy them. In other words, the ability to choose whether we read God into or out of our experience, whatever it may be. Whether we look at what's going on, we look at the person we're facing, we look at the challenge we're encountering and we say, well, God's nowhere to be found here. Or whether we look at it and say, I may not see it yet, but God is here now just waiting to be discovered. God is in the midst of this situation. By the choices we make in the way we think, we can either put God into or take God out of our lives. But if we take God out, it has the same effect as unplugging a lamp from the outlet. It won't work. And when we put God in, well, things can seem to change in a miraculous way. As miraculous as the difference between night and day. That's why we talk about thinking so much in Unity. Not because thought has power, but because thought gives us access to power. And it is our only real access. Our mind is an inlet and may become an outlet of all there is in God. But we have free will. It is up to us to choose whether or not that will take place. And the way we choose is by what we either deny or affirm. If you read Unity literature, especially the classics like Lessons in Truth by Katie or any of the old stuff really that you find in our lending library, they talk a lot about denials and affirmations, and there's some confusion about these terms, mostly because people confuse our use of the term denial with the way it is employed in modern psychology. We need to remember that Unity has actually been around a little longer than modern psychology. We used the word first, and we meant something entirely different. So there, Sigmund, take that. I understand what Freud meant by it, the defense mechanism that can get us into trouble. I have known people who were in denial in that way, and it can be, in the short term, a way to protect ourselves from things we can't face, but in the long term, something awful. But that's not what we mean by denial. All we mean by denial is this choice, these choices that our mind makes. It makes choices by either saying yes or no to things, and either denying them or affirming them. And what we're talking about here is what's true. By denial and affirmation, what we're really saying is we go through life like life is a true-false test in school. If we say, that's false, we're denying it. If we say, that's true, with a capital T, we are affirming it. And whether we realize it or not, we are constantly in a process of filling out this true-false test, of either denying or affirming in our thinking. Now, most of the time, we're not conscious of it because, frankly, most of the time, we leave our minds on autopilot. One of the wonderful aspects about the mind God gave us is it has an autopilot. It's got like a cruise control. And that's a great thing. When cruise control first came out, I thought, wow, this is something. And now they've got cruise control that'll even follow the car in front of you. And if it stops, it stops your car. I mean, it's one of these days, cars will be like airplanes. And one day, probably sooner than you think. Well, our mind works a lot like that. And what it works with is everything we have ever learned. Everything we have ever learned in this life. From the moment we came into this world, from that first smack on our backside that the doctor gave us, we've been experiencing things. People have consciously been trying to teach us things. Our parents, our siblings, our Sunday school teachers, our school teachers, our peers, our experiences. Every achievement and every trauma, every victory and every defeat have taught us something. And what they've taught us is how to think. That's why you can drive your car without thinking about it. You learned that. You thought about it a lot when you were first learning to drive. You were probably nervous. If you're like me, you were probably wondering if your dad's head was going to explode. That was another occasion when I thought dad's head might explode. Dad was not the best driver's ed teacher. He was a little too nervous about that. The only thing is, while this is great if what we learned is true, it's not so great if what we learned is false. Now, we don't even realize our minds are on autopilot because these things have become what in religion we call our belief system. And the trouble with our beliefs is we believe them. We believe in them. And we believe a lot of things that are absolutely true, and most of us believe a lot of things that are absolute nonsense. But we don't question it because it doesn't seem like it's a belief, it just seems like it's a fact. And the reason is, this is a psychological term I will embrace, after you learn something, it becomes a conditioned response. And a conditioned response is just reflexive. It just seems like a knee-jerk reaction. But it was learned. We learned all sorts of things from our culture, from our parents, our families. We learned some things they wanted us to learn, and we learned some things they didn't want us to learn. Not only do both children and parents often learn the word you didn't want them to remember, that certainly worked with my boys, and I won't even get into that. We learned all sorts of things we shouldn't remember. We learned to think of ourselves in ways we shouldn't think of ourselves. We learned to think of other people whose opinions are different from us, who look different from us, in ways we shouldn't think of them. Ways that do not affirm God is there. God is in that person, God is in that place, but that affirms that's a godless people. That's a godless country. There's no God in business. I mean, religion's one thing, but this is business. What are we affirming? God is not there. God is nowhere in business. And God will be nowhere in your business. God is nowhere in that person. And to you, it will seem that way. Everyone else in the world may get along with that person, but you won't. And as long as you keep affirming that, you never will. Because you have cut yourself off from the one thing that makes you one, God. If we have a challenge in life, we may think the challenge is because of this thing or that outer thing. The challenge is because we have excluded God. And the answer is to include God in that train of thought. So, in Unity, what we teach people is when life seems to be going aground, what you do is you turn off your autopilot You take the rudder in your own hands and you chart a new course. And the way you chart a course is by taking our denials and affirmations out of the subconscious and bringing them up to the conscious level of thinking. This takes discipline, it takes work, but one by one, as the train of thought goes by with each car, you ask yourself, is this true or false? And your measure is, if it's true, it affirms God is there. If it's false, it affirms God is nowhere. Well, what is God? God is love. If it affirms, I hate these people, where's God? Not there. God is good. If it affirms this is evil, where's God? Not there. Now, that doesn't mean God isn't really there, but God isn't there in my thinking. And my mind, my consciousness, is the only channel God has to bring his good and his love and his power into expression in my personal corner of the world. Remember, we're not trying to change the world. A lot of people get mixed up about our affirmations in that way. They look at the affirmations in Daily Word and elsewhere, and they think, we're trying to, through an act of, I even see people doing this. They'll take the affirmation, and maybe in a class they'll say, now hold this affirmation, and people get this look on their face like, I don't know, they're really constipated or something. They get this horrible expression, like they're really straining, and you can tell what they're doing. They are trying to, with their thinking, change the world through an act of will. You can't do that. You don't have that power. Only God has that power. The extension cord doesn't have to strain to make the light go on. It just has to be open to the flow. That's all. It just has to be a good channel, and probably the best channels of the flow of anything are channels that are all knotted up with stress and tension. That's why a little meditation goes a long way with helping people. Kind of opens the mind up. Meditation is like going to one of those massage envy places for your head, for your mind. It opens the mind so that what wants to flow through can flow through. But remember, everything that flows through is based on the answer to that first question. Is God now here or nowhere? And the way we answer will determine everything that happens in life. I want to make this crystal clear. Darkness is not the opposite of light. It is the absence of light. If you go into a dark room, you don't say, somebody turned on the dark. No, you say somebody turned off the light. What's the solution? Turn it back on. Well, similarly, the darkness that exists in our lives, the evil that exists in our lives, is not the opposite of God and good. Were that so, that would mean there are two gods, not one. It would mean there are two presences and two powers that work in the universe in our lives. The good guy and his evil twin. There are no two gods. God doesn't have a competitor, somebody else bidding for his business. God has got a monopoly on power. When we see darkness in our life, it's because the power has gotten shut off, and our minds are the shut-off valve. But our minds are also the place that power gets turned on. Darkness means we have come to affirm, to say it's true that God is absent from this part of my life, which is a denial of the idea that God is present. Now, the truth is God is never really absent. It's just that we become sometimes absent-minded about God's presence. One of Jesus' most popular parables, the parable of the prodigal son, the denouement, the turning point in that parable for the prodigal son, is he's in the far country, he's got nothing, he's deprived, he's in terrible shape, he's starving to death, and then, wonderful phrase from the Bible, he came to himself. And what did coming to himself constitute? He came to himself and remembered his father and his true home. He had forgotten who his father was. He had forgotten whose son he was. And because he had forgotten, he had got lost in this far country. The father didn't move. The father didn't move an inch. It was the son that wandered off. The second the son remembered, he returned home. He found himself restored at his homecoming. He discovered at his homecoming that while he may have forgotten the father never forgot him, not for a second. We are on this earth, in a sense, just trying to remember who we are. Who we are. Whose children we are. We've come up with all kinds of crazy ideas about the answer to that question. The true one is, you're the child of God. The true one is, you are the channel of all the goodness that is in God. The true one is, there is no separation between you and your Father. You and the Father are one. You and God are one. No matter where you are, God's right there. No matter what you face, God is there facing it with you. You may have been taught to believe God is some far-off place, or that, I don't know, religion has taught us many of the most absurd beliefs, like you have to face in a certain direction to look at God. There is no direction you can face and not be looking at God. There may be a direction you can face and not be looking at some particular religion's holy site, but you can look up, down, and all around, and you're facing God. That's what that winged globe is supposed to remind us of. The angel wings represent the presence of God, and the earth represents, well, the earth, this experience. And the point is, there's nowhere on earth where God is absent, except we're sometimes absent-minded. Once we remember our Father and our true home, like the prodigal, once we remember the truth, then just as darkness disappears in an instant when you turn on the light, I have seen amazing things happen, seemingly in an instant, just when someone saw the light. I have seen lives transformed. I have seen people healed. I have seen people find the strength to face the most daunting of challenges and to overcome. I have seen people find understanding where there was only confusion. And it seems like a miracle just because, well, light enlightens a dark room quick. Darkness has no resistance to light because it's not a thing. It's just a void. It's just a void. And when you come to know God is now here, well, that's what the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, that's what the word Genesis means. In the Hebrew Bible, it's Bereshith, beginning. In the book of beginnings, God brooded over the darkness and the deep and said, let there be light. And suddenly, there was everything. Suddenly there is everything. Which actually is pretty consistent with the Big Bang, if you understand that there's no noise in space. Maybe you saw that movie Aliens years ago. You can't scream in space. That was on the poster. No, there's no sound in space. You need an atmosphere for that. There's only light and darkness in space. The Big Bang would have been a big flash bulb. Would have been a big flash. And from light, everything came. In our lives, from light, everything can flow. As long as we make this connection. So what we believe in Unity, in a nutshell, is we live, move, and have our being in God. God is now here, just like Paul said, just like the New Testament teaches. And the way we bring it into manifestation in our lives is by making the connection with that truth in our mind in any situation. If I look at how I'm thinking about a situation or about a person, and the way I'm thinking is saying there's no God there, that's false. Mark that false. That's a denial. And if it says, you know, the same God that is in me is in them, the same God that worked through anyone, that has overcome anything, is here working through me now. And what God has done, God can do. That's a truth. That's an affirmation. True, false, denial and affirmation. You have to do it consciously for a while, but it gets easier. And after a while, if you keep watching how you're thinking, watching what you're saying is true and false, and embracing those things that affirm God is now here, and rejecting those that say God is not, well, then pretty soon, whatever it is you seem to be facing, in that situation, the truth will set you free. Let's pray about this by affirming truth the way we do every Sunday. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent, and so it is.